People of the Philippines versus Nazario Molina y Manama, alias Bobong, and Gregorio Mula y Malagura, alias Boboy. GR number 133917, February 19, 2001. To sanction disrespect and disregard for the Constitution in the name of protecting the society from lawbreakers is to make the government itself lawless and to subvert those values upon which our ultimate freedom and liberty depend. For automatic review is the decision of the Regional Trial Court of Davao City, Branch 17 in Criminal Case Number 37-26496, finding accused appellant Nazario Molina y Manamat alias Bobong and Gregorio Mula y Malagura alias Boboy guilty beyond reasonable doubt of violation of Section 8 of the Dangerous Drug Act of 1972, Republic Act Number 6425 as amended by Republic Act Number 7659, and sentencing them to suffer the supreme penalty of death. The information against the accused appellant reads that on or about August 8, 1996, in the city of Davao, Philippines, and within the jurisdiction of this honorable court, the above named accused in conspiracy with each other did then and there willfully and lawfully and feloniously was found in their possession 946.9 grams of dried marijuana, which are prohibited. Contrary to law, upon arraignment on September 4, 1996, accused appellant pleaded not guilty to the accusation against them. Trial ensued wherein the prosecution presented Police Superintendent Ariel Mallorca, SPO1 Leonardo E. Pamplona Jr., and SPO1 Marino Espagui Dupon Jr. as witnesses. The antecedent facts are as follows. Sometime in June 1996, SPO1 Marino Pagudopon, then a member of the Philippine National Police, detailed at Precinct Number 3, Matina, Davao City, received an information regarding the presence of an alleged marijuana pusher in Davao City. The first time he came to see the said marijuana pusher in person was during the first week of July 1996. SPO1 Pagudopon was then with his informer when a motorcycle passed by. His informer pointed to the motorcycle driver, accused appellant Mula, as the pusher. As to the accused appellant Molina, SPO1 Pagudopon had no occasion to see him before the arrest. Moreover, the name and the addresses of the accused appellant came to the knowledge of SPO1 Pagudopon only after they were arrested. At about 7:30 in the morning of August 8, 1996, SPO1 Pagudopon received an information that the alleged pusher will be passing at NHA Maa, Davao City anytime that morning. Consequently, at around 8 a.m. of the same day, he called for assistance at the PNP Precinct Number 3, Matina, Davao City, which immediately dispatched the team of SPO4 Dionisio Cloribel, team leader SPO2 Pagudopon, brother of SPO1 Marino Pagudopon, and SPO1 Pamplona to proceed to the house of the SPO1 Marino Pagudopon where they would wait for the alleged pusher to pass by. At around 9:30 in the morning of August 8, 1996, while the team were positioned in the house of SPO1 Pagudopon, a tricycle carrying the accused appellant passed by. At that instant, SPO1 Pagudopon pointed to the accused appellant as the pushers. Thereupon, the team boarded their vehicle and overtook the tricycle. SPO1 Pagudopon was left in his house 30 meters from where the accused appellant were accosted. The police officers then ordered the tricycle to stop. At that point, accused appellant Mula, who was holding a black bag, handed the same to the accused appellant Molina. Subsequently, SPO1 Pamplona introduced himself as a police officer and asked accused appellant Molina to open the bag. Molina replied, "Boss, if possible, we will settle this." SPO1 Pamplona insisted on opening the bag, which revealed dried marijuana leaves inside. Thereafter, accused appellant Mula and Molina were handcuffed by the police officer. On December 6, 1996, accused appellant through counsel jointly filed a demurrer to evidence contending that the marijuana allegedly seized from them is inadmissible as evidence for having been obtained in violation of their constitutional right against unreasonable searches and seizures. The demurrer was denied by the trial court. A motion for reconsideration was filed by accused appellant, but this was likewise denied. Accused appellant waived presentation of evidence and opted to file a joint memorandum. On April 25, 1997, the trial court rendered the assailed decision, the decretal portion of which reads, "Wherefore, finding the evidence of the prosecution alone, without any evidence from both accused, who waive presentation of their own evidence to their counsels, more than sufficient to prove the guilt of both accused of the offense charged beyond reasonable doubt, pursuant to Section 20, subparagraph 5 of Republic Act 7659, accused Nazario Molina and Gregorio Mula are sentenced to suffer a supreme penalty of death through lethal injection under Republic Act 8176 to be effected and implemented as therein provided for by law in relation to Section 24 of Republic Act 7659. The branch clerk of court of this court is ordered to immediately elevate the entire records of this case with the clerk of court of the Supreme Court Manila for the automatic review of their case by the Supreme Court and its appropriate action as the case may be. So ordered. Pursuant to Article 47 of the Revised Penal Code and Rule 122, Section 10 of the Rules of Court, the case was elevated to this court on automatic review, accused appellants contend that first, that the marijuana is inadmissible in evidence for having been seized in violation of the appellant's constitutional rights against unreasonable searches and seizures. Number two, that assuming it is admissible in evidence, the government has not otherwise proved their guilt beyond reasonable doubt. And number three, that finally assuming their guilt has been proved beyond reasonable doubt, the imposable penalty for violation of Section 8 of RA number 7659, the absence of any aggravating circumstances, is life imprisonment, not death. The Solicitor General filed a manifestation and motion in lieu of brief wherein he prayed for the acquittal of both accused appellants. The fundamental law of the land mandates that searches and seizures be carried out in a reasonable fashion and is by virtue or on the strength of a search warrant predicated upon the existence of a probable cause. The pertinent provision of the Constitution provides Section 2, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures or whatever nature and for any purpose shall be inviolable, and no search warrant or warrant of arrest shall issue except upon probable cause to be determined personally by the judge after examination under oath or affirmation of the complainant and the witnesses he may produce, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Complementary to the foregoing provision is the exclusionary rule enshrined under Article 3, Section 3, Paragraph 2, which bolsters and solidifies the protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. Thus, any evidence obtained in violation of this or the preceding section shall be inadmissible for any purpose in any proceeding. Without this rule, the right to privacy would be a form of words valueless and undeserving of mention in a perpetual charter of inestimable human liberty. So too, without this rule, the freedom from state invasion or privacy would be so ephemeral and so neatly severed from its conceptual nexus with the freedom from all brutish means of coercing evidence as not to merit this court's high regard as a freedom implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. The foregoing constitutional prescription, however, is not without exceptions. Search and seizure may be made without a warrant, and the evidence obtained therefrom may be admissible in the following instances. Number 1, search incident to a lawful arrest. 2, search of a moving motor vehicle. 3, search in violation of customs law. 4, seizure of evidence in plain view. 5, when the accused himself waive his right against unreasonable searches and seizures. And 6, stop and frisk situation or datary search. The first exception, search incidental to a lawful arrest, includes a valid warrantless search and seizure pursuant to an equally valid warrantless arrest, which must precede the search. In this instance, the law requires that there be first a lawful arrest before a search can be made. The process cannot be reversed. As a rule, an arrest is considered illegitimate if effected with a valid warrant of arrest. The rules of court, however, recognizes permissible warrantless arrest. Thus, a peace officer or a private person may, without warrant, arrest a person, letter A, when in his presence, the person to be arrested as committed is actually committing or is attempting to commit an offense, arrest in flagrante delicto. Letter B, when an offense has just been committed and he has probable cause to believe, based on personal knowledge of facts or circumstances, the person to be arrested has committed it, arrest effected in hot pursuit. And C, when the person to be arrested is a prisoner who has escaped from a penal establishment or a place where he is serving final judgment or is temporarily confined while his case is pending or has escaped while being transferred from one confinement to another, arrest of escape prisoners. In the case at bar, the court co-anchored its judgment of conviction on a finding that the warrantless arrest of accused appellants and the subsequent search conducted by the peace officers are valid because accused appellants were caught in flagrante delicto in possession of prohibited drugs. This brings us to the issue of whether or not the warrantless arrest, search, and seizure in the present case fall within the recognized exceptions to the warrant requirement. In People v. Chua Hosan, the court held that in cases of in flagrante delicto arrest, a peace officer of a private person or a private person may without a warrant arrest a person while in his presence the person to be arrested has committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit an offense. The arresting officer, therefore, must have personal knowledge of such fact or, as recent case law adverts to, personal knowledge of facts or circumstances convincingly indicative or constitutive of probable cause. As discussed in People versus Doria, probable cause means an actual belief or reasonable grounds of suspicion. The grounds of suspicion are reasonable when, in the absence of actual belief of the arresting officer, the suspicion that the person to be arrested is probably guilty of committing the offense is based on actual facts, supported by circumstances sufficiently strong in themselves to create the probable cause of guilt of the person to be arrested. A reasonable suspicion, therefore, must be founded on probable cause, coupled with good faith on the part of the peace officer making the arrest. As applied to in flagrante delicto arrest, it is settled that reliable information alone, absent any overt act indicative of a felonious enterprise in the presence and within the view of the arresting officer, are not sufficient to constitute probable cause that would justify an in flagrante delicto arrest. Thus, in People versus Aminuddin, it was held that the accused appellant was not at the moment of his arrest committing a crime, nor was it shown that he was about to do so or that he had just done so. When he was doing was descending the gangplank of the MN Wilcon 9, and there was no outward indication that called for his arrest. To all appearances, he was like any of the other passengers innocently disembarking from the vessel. It was only when the informer pointed to him as the carrier of the marijuana that he suddenly became a suspect and so subject to apprehension. Likewise, in People versus Mengote, the court did not consider eyes darting from side to side while holding one's abdomen in a crowded street at 11:30 in the morning as overt acts and circumstances sufficient to arouse suspicion and indicative of probable cause. According to the court, by no stretch of the imagination could it have been inferred from these acts that an offense had just been committed or was actually being committed or was at least being attempted in the arresting officer's presence. So also in People versus Ensenada, the court ruled that no probable cause is gleanable from the act of riding a motorella while holding two plastic baby chairs. Then, too, in Malacat versus Court of Appeals, the trial court concluded the petitioner was attempting to commit a crime as he was standing at the calmer of Plaza Miranda and Quezon Boulevard with his eyes moving very fast and looking at every person that come nearer to them. In declaring the warrantless arrest therein illegal, the court said, here, there could have been no valid in flagrante delicto arrest preceding the search in light of the lack of personal knowledge on the part of the arresting officer or an overt physical act on the part of petitioner indicating that a crime has just been committed, was being committed, or was going to be committed. It went on to state that, second, there was nothing in petitioner's behavior or conduct which could have reasonably elicited even mere suspicion other than that his eyes were moving very fast, an observation which leaves us incredulous since you and his teammates were nowhere near petitioner and it was already 6:30 p.m. thus presumably dusk. Petitioner and his companions were merely standing at the comer and were not creating any commotion or trouble. Third, there was at all no ground, probable or otherwise, to believe that petitioner was armed with a deadly weapon. None was visible to you, as he admitted the alleged grenade was discovered inside the front waistline of petitioner, and from all indications as to the distance between you and petitioner, any telltale badge, assuming that petitioner was indeed hiding a grenade, could not have been visible to you. Clearly, to constitute a valid in flagrante delicto arrest, two requisites must concur. Number one, the person to be arrested must execute an overt act indicating that he has just committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit a crime. And number two, such overt act is done in the presence or within the view of the arresting officer. In the case at bar, accused appellant manifested no outward indication that would justify their arrest. In holding a bag on board a tricycad, accused appellant could not be said to be committing, attempting to commit, or have committed a crime. It matters not that accused appellant Molina responded, "Boss, if possible, we will settle this," to the request of SPO 1 Pamplona to open the bag. Such response, which allegedly reinforced the suspicion of the arresting officers that accused appellant were committing a crime, is an equivocal statement which standing alone will not constitute probable cause to effect an in flagrante delicto arrest. Note that were it not for SPO 1 Marino Pagudopon, who did not participate in the arrest but merely pointed accused appellant to the arresting officer. Accused appellants could not be the subject of any suspicion, reasonable or otherwise. While SPO1 Pagudopon claimed that he and his informer conducted the surveillance of accused appellant Mula, SPO1 Pagudopon, however, admittedly that he only learned Mula's name and address after the arrest. What is more, it is doubtful if SPO1 Pagudopon indeed recognized accused appellant Mula. It is worthy to note that before the arrest, he was able to see Mula in person only once, pinpointed to him by his informer when they were on the side of the road. These circumstances could not have afforded SPO1 Pagudopon a closer look at accused appellant Mula, considering that the latter was then driving a motorcycle when SPO1 Pagudopon caught a glimpse of him. With respect to accused appellant Molina, SPO1 Pagudopon admitted that he had never seen him before the arrest. This belies the claim of SPO1 Pamplona that he knew the name of accused appellant even before the arrest, to wit, question. When you said that certain Mula handed a black bag to another person, and how did you know that it was Mula who handed the black bag to another person? Answer. Because I have already information from Pagudopon regarding Mula and Molina. When they passed by through the street near the residence of Pagudopon, he told that the one who is big one, that is Gregorio Mula, and the thin one is Nazario Molina. The aforesighted testimony of SPO1 Pamplona, therefore, is entirely baseless. SPO1 Pamplona could not have learned the name of accused appellant from SPO1 Pagudopon because Pagudopon himself, who allegedly conducted the surveillance, was not even aware of accused appellant's name and address prior to the arrest. Evidently, SPO1 Pagudopon, who acted as informer of the arresting officer, more so, the arresting officer themselves could not have been certain of accused appellant's identity and were, from all indications, merely fishing for evidence at the time of the arrest. Compared to People versus Ensenada, the arresting officer in the said case knew appellant Ensenada even before the arrest because of the latter's illegal gambling activities, thus lending at least a semblance of validity on the arrest effected by the peace officers. Nevertheless, the court declared in said case that the warrantless arrest and the consequent search were illegal, holding that the prosecution's evidence did not show any suspicious behavior when the appellant disembarked from the ship or while he rode the motorella. No act or fact demonstrating a felonious enterprise could be ascribed to appellant under such bare circumstances. Moreover, it could not have been said that accused appellant waived their rights against unreasonable searches and seizure. Implied acquiescence to the search, if there was any, could not have been more than mere passive conformity given under intimidating or coercive circumstances, and is thus considered no consent at all within the purview of the constitutional guarantee. Withal, the court holds that the arrest of accused appellant does not fall under the exemptions allowed by the rules, hence the search conducted on their person was likewise illegal. Consequently, the marijuana seized by the peace officers could not be admitted as evidence against accused appellant, and the court is thus left with no choice but to find in favor of accused appellant. While the court strongly supports the campaign of the government against drug addiction and commends the efforts of our law enforcement officers towards this drive, all efforts for this achievement of a drug-free society must not encroach on the fundamental rights and liberties of individuals as guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, which protection extends even to the bases of criminals. Wherefore, the decision of the Regional Trial Court of Davao City Branch 17 in Criminal Case Number 37264-96 is reversed and set aside. For lack of evidence to establish their guilt beyond reasonable doubt, accused appellant Nazario Molina y Manamat alias Bobong and Gregorio Mula y Malagura alias Boboy are acquitted and ordered released from confinement unless they are validly detained for other offenses, no cause so ordered.